الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we were talking about the two definitions of our existence, the two definitions for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made with respect to our creation. One definition that has to do with us individually and one that has to do with us collectively. The definition individually is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created, which means we have not created human beings and jinn for anything other than our ibadah. And the collective definition is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. But Allah said, you have been created and you have been selected. You are the best of people and you have been selected for the benefit of people. And the job that you do is you enjoin and you promote everything which is good and you prohibit everything which is evil, and you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you that anything in this world, that everything in this world is created for a purpose. Whether it is things that we build, whether it is things that are natural in this world, everything has a specific purpose. And that thing is valued as long as it fulfills the purpose for which it has been created. Once that purpose is over, once the thing stops fulfilling that purpose, then that thing is discarded. It becomes garbage. This phone has been created for a purpose. No matter how much this phone cost, no matter what it is, it has been created for a purpose. The day it finishes serving its purpose, we may try to repair it, but if it does not get repaired, then what do you do with the phone? You don't turn it into a locket and hang it around your neck and say, well, you know, after all, it served me so well for so many years, I would like to honor it by hanging it on my neck. You don't use it as a decoration in your house, you throw it away. You discard it. This is the reality for everything, whatever it might be. As long as it fulfills the purpose of its creation, it is valued, it is kept, it is looked after, it is maintained. When it stops fulfilling that purpose, khalas, it has no value. So therefore, our purpose of creation is personally to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, only to worship Him without partners because He has no partners, to ask from Him only because only He can give. This is our purpose. And as far as the collective purpose is concerned, our purpose is to promote good and stop evil. Rasulullah ﷺ further clarified this, and in the hadith, he said that if you see anything evil, stop it with your hand. So what is the first stage? You see something going wrong, you see some injustice happening, if you see something evil, stop it with your hand. And then he said, if you are unable to do that, for whatever be the reason, he said, if you are unable to do that, then speak against it. Stand up and talk. And he said, the third one, he said that if you are unable to do that also, which means that you are so weak or you are so cowardly or Allah knows best, he said, then at least hate it in your heart. Hate it in your heart. And this last one, he said, this is the sign of the weakness of your iman. Dhawf al-iman. So, how many options are there? Not three, two options. stop it with your hand or speak out against it. The third one is not an option. The third one is a sign of the weakness of your iman. Now, how about those who actually participate in that? You say something is bad. If you ask, do you think this is right? No, it is not right. Then what were you doing there? For example, take our ostentatious weddings. All the khurafat and nonsense that we do in the name of weddings. You ask any, probably any, sensible, educated Muslim in this city. They say, do you think what is happening is right? Do you think taking dowries is right? Do you think all these ostentatious spending and all the drama and tamasha that is happening, do you think this is right? What will they say? I don't think there's anybody who will say, no, this is correct, it should happen. Nobody will say that. Then the question is, what were you doing in that wedding? Because you went. Why did you go? If you think it is bad, why did you go? Why did you participate? Because your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, hate it in your heart as a sign of weakness of your faith. Now, obvious logical thing is, if you hate something in your heart, will you participate in it? If you hate something in your heart, will you go there? So, either you say that Muhammad is not my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say it. Because your action is saying it. Whether you like it or not, your action is saying that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has nothing to do with you. Or if you don't want to say that, then change your ways. Change your ways. Today, we live in this self-created shaitani fantasy, which is that I am personally not doing that, meaning that it is not my son's or my daughter's wedding, so I am not spending for this. What you will do when your son's or daughter's wedding happens, that is a different issue. But the point is that this one is not. So being there is okay. For example, somebody tells me that he was advised by one of his own elders, by his father, by his uncle, to say that, in today's world, for marketing, for promotion of things, for advertising and so on, we have to serve alcohol, it's okay. As long as you don't drink, it's okay. We have to, if people drink, we have to offer them drinks. Or maybe you need not offer them drinks, but supposing you go to a party in which there is alcohol and so on and so forth, you don't drink, that's enough. If the alcohol is there, it's okay. It's not your responsibility. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever believes in Allah, it's a conditional statement, whoever believes in Allah, meaning what? Whoever is Muslim, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, and whoever believes in the day of judgment, let him never sit at a table where alcohol is served. This is a direct hukum of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him never sit at a table where alcohol is served. So, if you go to a restaurant where alcohol is served, it is haram. It is not okay to say, well, you see, after all, I am not drinking. It doesn't matter. Even if you are not drinking, going there is prohibited. So, how do you go? If you are part of a club where alcohol is served, how are you part of this club? See, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said, sin is that which troubles your conscience and that which you dislike coming to public notice. He said, sin, way to understand, supposing there is some action, is it sinful, not sinful? One quick way to understand that is it something that troubles your conscience? And is it something which you dislike coming to public notice? The problem with this hadith is that this hadith is referring to people with self-respect. And that is unfortunately, according to me, this is a fault or problem of this hadith. It is referring to people with some haya, with some sharam. Right? Now, since we have passed those stages and we do not have any haya, any sharam, we have no shame in not just being members, but of stating this proudly as a mark of our, great elevated status in society, that we are members of the race club. What is a race club? A race club is a juwariyamga adda. At least use the right language, then maybe there will be some sharam in this. It is a place of gambling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram. Our problem is, what we have done is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made several things haram, all of which have nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that they don't affect Him. They all have to do with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made alcohol haram. Allah made all intoxicants. He made all kinds of drugs haram, which intoxicate you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fornication and prostitution haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made gambling haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made dealing with interest haram and declared war against those who deal in interest, meaning those who take interest, those who pay interest, and those who even witness such a transaction by being witnesses or being or preparing those documents, right? Now, what we have done is, out of this, supposing I tell you that I got this fantastic job, right? And my job is I am the receptionist at this brothel. This is a very high class brothel, prostitution place, and I am the receptionist there. I am the manager of this brothel. I am not touching anybody. I am not indulging in fornication, but this is my job. What will you tell me? Imagine your son comes and tells you this. I have been now nominated to be, and I have got this fantastic job, great salary and everything else, and I am the manager of this brothel. Will you accept it? The same son comes and tells you, I have now been selected as the general secretary of the race club. You will give a party in his honor. And you will give a party because you are the one who admitted that son to the race club. You proposed him and you paid for it. And now he is the general secretary of the race club, which means he will have the president's box. I am the president of the race club. Tell me, if this is not nifaq, if this is not the behavior of a munafiq, what is it? Allah made both equally haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made prostitution and races equally haram. Allah made dealing with interest even more haram. You have absolutely no shame in borrowing money on interest. And you are not borrowing money on interest because you are dying of starvation. If I don't borrow this money, I will have to die. I have only this much of money. I am a retired person. I have got no other means of income. Sometimes these questions come. There is this lady whose husband passed away. She's got nobody in this world. She has this money which the husband left, which is in the bank. She is getting so much of interest. That is her only means of income. She has got nothing else. Right? Is this halal or haram? Now, that's a different question. That question has to be answered separately. I'm not saying it is halal. It cannot be halal, irrespective of what. But what is that lady to, what is she supposed to do and so on, is a different issue. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you are a multi-millionaire. You are a billionaire. And your banker comes to you and says to you, all of this money is lying idle in the bank. Why don't you leverage it? Why don't I give you, why don't we take this money as collateral? And this money which is there, now we will give you 10 times this as a loan. Why don't you set up this factory? Why don't you buy this business? Why don't you do that? And so on and so forth. And you will get all of this more income from this and so on and so. Now you are already a millionaire. You already have more money than you can spend and seven generations can spend. Yet you will fall into this trap and you will take this loan from the bank. Till that moment your money, your income was halal. By taking this money and this income, you have converted into haram. And you are now feeding all your family haram where they were eating halal. Your children are eating haram, they are growing up with haram food, and you are the cause for this because you took this loan. What is the answer? Please, if I am inventing this,
Don't listen to this. Scrap this. But if this is the word of Allah, and if this is the word of Muhammad Rasulullah, then be prepared to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. This game that we are playing of running with the hounds, running with the hare and hunting with the hounds simultaneously, this doesn't work, believe me. We have to take choice, we have to pick sides. We have to take a side, we have to make choices. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a sin is that which troubles your conscience. It troubles a conscience which is alive. It cannot trouble a conscience which is dead. That is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best mufti is your own heart. But which kind of heart? A heart which is full of masiyat, a heart which is dead, which is a piece of, you know, garbage in your chest. Which heart? A heart which is alive, a heart of the muttaqi, which has the noor of Allah in it, a heart which is alive to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This heart will tell you what is right, what is wrong. But we have already murdered our hearts. How will the heart tell you anything? So that's why I'm saying the fault with this hadith, na'udhu billah, is that it addresses people with some sharam, with some haya. That hadith cannot help somebody whose haya is finished, who has no izzah, who has no prestige, who has no, you know, waqar in his life, and who has accepted the fact that I am dead. How will this hadith help you? Seriously, I get so upset because these are elders of this community who are misguiding youngsters and telling them that this is okay, that is okay. Since when did you become Allah? Since when did you become Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Since when have you become the legislator in this deen that you are making halal and haram as you wish? What is halal is halal, what is haram Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-halalu bayyin wa haramu bayyin wa baynahuma mushtabihat. He said, between the two things are those things which are doubtful. These are the two extremes. Between the two extremes, two boundaries, there are things which are doubtful. He said, leave every doubtful thing for that which is not doubtful. So leaving the doubtful is a sign of taqwa. Doing something which is doubtful is a sign of absence of taqwa. Amar bil maruf, to promote good, to enjoin good, nahi anil munkar, to stop evil, this is part of being a Muslim. It is not okay to sit silent. It is not okay to say, oh, but you see, I am not doing. It is not sufficient to not do. Rasulullah said, and this is narrated by Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, two hadith. One, Rasulullah said, when you stop doing the work of Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar, a time will come when you will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something and Allah will not give it. You will ask Allah for protection and Allah will not protect you. You will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, but Allah will not help you. Yeah, the meaning of the hadith, he said, when you stop doing Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar, when you stop enjoining good and forbidding evil, when you start participating in that, when you keep quiet, then a time will come when your dua will be rejected, you will not be accepted. You ask Allah for protection, Ya Allah, we are in trouble, help us, Allah will not help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask Allah for protection, Allah will not protect you. And he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends azab on a people, Allah sends Jibreel alayhi salam and says, bring the azab to these people. He said, the malak, the angel will say, Ya Allah, but in that community, there is this one person who is a good person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, begin the azab with him. Right? Start with him. Because how is it that he is good and he has not said anything to anybody? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever happens in the community will come on everybody. On the day of judgment, Allah will separate the good from the bad. Final hadith, Allah subhanahu Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the kharab, the corruption of Bani Israel, he said the destruction of Bani Israel happened when some of them started disobeying Allah. At that time, there were others in the community who used to tell them, look, this thing which you are doing is haram, don't do it. But they continued to do. But these people who were, even those people who were pointing to them and telling them, do not do this thing which is wrong, they did not break relationship with them. They did not stop going to their house. They say, oh, but you see, after all, he's my friend. After all, he's my cousin. He's my uncle. He's my aunt. Or she's my aunt. They did not sever their relationships with them, and they continued to maintain relationship with them, even though they were disobeying Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab came on them. I remind you and myself, stop playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stop playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get real. As I told you, either Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is yours or he's not yours. You want to reject, reject openly. Because you are doing it anyway. Every time you are destroying a sunnah, you are rejecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time you are going against his hukam, you are rejecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't want to do that, accept him. If you want to accept him, then follow him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Yeah, there's no midway between this. You can't have one leg in this boat and the other leg in the other boat. You will fall into the river and get eaten by a crocodile. Doesn't work. So get real in life. Otherwise, wait for the day of judgment. And that is very, very close, because the day of judgment for you and me is the day when Malakul Maut comes to our house. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help us and to protect us and to save us from that which is harmful for us and give us that which is beneficial. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.